Hello, listener. Dahlia Lithwick here, host of Amicus, that's Slate's podcast on the courts and the law and democracy and the rule of law. This May, our team will be publishing a special project that we are calling How Originalism Ate the Law. This neutral and academic-sounding methodology of looking at the law is, in fact, anything but neutral. Originalism is to the conservative legal movement what peanut butter is to jelly. As we're going to show you over the course of this project, originalism has been both cover and calling for conservative justices and judges to radically overhaul the lives of millions of Americans. And while they claim to be the apolitical interpreters of the Constitution and its author's intents, they have overturned Roe, radically expanded gun rights, and eviscerated voting rights. Across Slate.com and the Amicus podcast, we're going to be tackling questions like, where did originalism come from? Why has it taken over? Are progressive originalists really a thing? And am I allowed to have an opinion on originalism? Spoiler, the answer to that last question, you are. To celebrate the launch of this big project, we are running a special two-week-long free trial of Slate Plus on Apple Podcasts. As a member, you'll get exclusive episodes from How Originalism Ate the Law, plus ad-free listening to all of your favorite Slate podcasts. Join now by clicking Try Free at the top of the Amicus show page or visit slate.com/amicusplus to get access wherever you listen.
The following podcast contains explicit language.
It doesn't necessarily show that there was collusion in the scheme, but it shows that Don Jr. was collusion curious.
Look, I think Donald Jr.'s statements stand for themselves.
This is evidence of willingness to commit collusion.
Hello and welcome to TrumpCast. I'm Virginia Heffernan. On TrumpCast, we are not lawyered up. No one is telling me what to say. We do not fear Robert Mueller or you creepy investigative journalists and freaks on Twitter. We're no puppet. There's no collusion at TrumpCast, and we are going pro se, representing ourselves. But today we're talking about people who are lawyered up. That is President Donald Trump and every single person around him. And we're going to start with Mark Kasowitz, the class act outside counsel for the president, hired to defend him on L'Affaire Russe, that's French for Bastille Day, who first said that James Comey's testimony totally vindicated the president. And then recently, Kasowitz sent some emails to a detractor. The detractor had read an article in ProPublica magazine that alleged that Kasowitz abuses alcohol and his colleagues at work. So this guy fired off an email asking Kasowitz to resign, and you won't believe what happened next. As the clickbait says, in a couple minutes, Kasowitz offered these inspired bon mots. Fuck you. You don't know me, but I will know you, Kasowitz wrote. How dare you send me an email like that? I'm on you now. You are fucking with me now. Let's see who you are. Watch your back, bitch. You're such a piece of shit, he said. Call me. Don't be afraid, you piece of shit. Stand up. If you don't call, you're just afraid. Call me. Didn't stop there. I'm Jewish, Kasowitz wrote. I presume you are too, so stop being afraid. Call me. Or give me your number and I'll call you. I already know where you live. I'm on you. You will see me. I promise. Bro. My guest today to talk Trump team lawyers and their discontents is Justin Elliott, a reporter at ProPublica who's been all over the tale of Mark Kasowitz and what seems to make him uniquely unqualified to defend Trump on issues that demand high-level security clearances. We'll be back with Justin in a minute, but first, the tweets.
My son, Donald, did a good job last night. He was open, transparent, and innocent. This is the greatest witch hunt in political history, sad. The Senate Democrats have only confirmed 48 of my 197 presidential nominees. They can't win, so all they do is slow things down and obstruct. The White House is functioning perfectly, focused on healthcare, tax cuts reform, and many other things. I have very little time for watching TV. Republicans, senators are working hard to get their failed Obamacare replacement approved. I will be at my desk, pen in hand. Remember when you hear the words sources say from the fake media, oftentimes those sources are made up and do not exist.
Hey, Trumpcast listeners, Jason here, and I just want to give you a heads up before we start today's show. Are you a Slate Plus member yet? If not, why not? Join Slate Plus to get bonus segments of Trumpcast and ad-free versions of the show. And today you can hear me chat with Slate writer Ben Mathis Lilly about his cover story, The Wasted Mind of Ben Sasse. So don't forget to join Slate Plus by going to slate.com/TrumpcastPlus. That's slate.com/TrumpcastPlus. And now, here's the show.
Joining me right here in studio is Justin Elliott, reporter for ProPublica. Welcome, Justin.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Catch me up, Justin, on your reporting about Mark Kasowitz, Trump's lawyer, longtime lawyer.
Sure. So this goes back 6 or 7 weeks when my colleague Jesse Eisinger at ProPublica and I started reporting on Kasowitz. Kasowitz, just to give a little bit of background, has actually been one of Donald Trump's lawyers going back 15 years, more than 15 years.
Okay.
So before he had any involvement in this Russia case, he and the firm represented Trump in a bankruptcy case. They sued a journalist, Tim O'Brien, in a defamation case in which, some people may remember, O'Brien wrote a book in which he described Trump as a millionaire, not a billionaire, and Trump sued him for defamation. The case dragged on for a while, but Trump lost. Trump and Kasowitz lost completely. More recently, in the sort of politician Trump phase, the last couple of years, Kasowitz represented him to keep his divorce records with Ivana from the early 90s sealed,
right,
which they were successful in. They represent when the New York Times reported, I believe in October, that several women had been touched by Trump or basically sexually assaulted by Trump. Kasowitz sort of famously wrote a letter to the New York Times saying, "These stories are false and defamatory. Retract the story or we're going to sue you." The Times lawyer responded basically no, or see you in court. And Kasowitz never filed a lawsuit. And Kasowitz represented Trump in the Trump University fraud case.
Right.
So this is a guy that has known Trump for a long time, has been involved in some of his most sensitive, business and personal affairs.
So this is the Tom Hagen of the enterprise, to bring to mind the Corleone Irish lawyer, and just the go-to guy to, like, when you need lawyers, guns, and money, he's the lawyer.
Exactly. Okay. He's one of the go-to guys. The sort of go-to outside guy. So then in late May, it was reported that Trump had retained Kasowitz to represent him as his personal outside lawyer in the Russia case. And those stories came out. Then the Comey, the testimony of fired FBI Director James Comey,
mm-hmm,
came, I believe, on June 8th. And Mark Kasowitz, I think, sort of made his debut on the sort of national stage as the man who was tapped to give the public response to the Comey testimony, you know, which was watched by millions of people. He got up and gave a short press conference at the National Press Club after the Comey hearing, in which he said, among other things, the president was totally vindicated. Comey confirmed that the president was not under investigation. He also attacked Comey on various fronts. Also, by the way, the White House has been referring all questions about Russia matters to Kasowitz and his team, including things related to Kushner, Jared Kushner, and Michael Flynn. So even though he's not a government employee, he is almost a sort of shadow member of the government.
When you say outside lawyer, then you mean he's not a White House counsel.
Right. He's not. So Don McGahn is the White House counsel, and that's a job that involves a whole range of things, including vetting of personnel. Don McGahn was involved in nominating judges like Neil Gorsuch. He was very involved in that. So Kasowitz was hired by Trump, not a government employee. It's not actually clear how he's being paid, but it's, it's presumably not by the government. And his role is to look out for the interests of Donald Trump.
So he doesn't, because he's not deep in the Washington drained swamp. He doesn't have a law license in Washington, right? He, as I understand it.
You know, I'm pretty sure he's a member of the bar in New York, but I think usually that is not an issue. Typically, when lawyers who, let's say, are a member of the New York bar need to do a case in a different state, they go through a process where they just sort of apply to work on that case in that state, and usually I think it's just rubber stamped. But he is not. I think sort of more to the point, he's not somebody who has dealt with high-profile, you know, political investigations in Washington like this case.
That involves top-secret intelligence for which he doesn't have clearance, right?
So my colleague Jesse and I ended up zeroing in on this issue of security clearance. And basically, the way it works is if you're a government employee or a lawyer or anyone that needs access to classified material, government secrets essentially for your job, you have to go through this rigorous process of applying for and receiving security clearance. You fill out a form where they ask about everything from your contacts with foreign government officials to mental health issues, substance abuse issues. I mean, it's very, very intrusive. They're looking for things that might make you vulnerable to blackmail or show poor judgment, basically that you can't be trusted with classified material. What Jesse and I reported this week is that Mark Kasowitz does not have security clearance, which is notable, I think, because the Russia case involves so much classified material, and we can get more into the examples of that. And Kasowitz told us through a spokesman that he doesn't anticipate seeking clearance. And we also reported that if he does apply for clearance, he could have trouble getting it. And the reason for that is, according to many of our sources for this story, he's had recent problems with alcohol abuse. That's an issue in the security clearance process. Again, they're looking for things that could make you vulnerable to blackmail or show poor judgment. And after our story was published, Kasowitz's spokesman put out a statement denying that he has ever struggled with alcohol abuse. They did confirm that he was in counseling at one point a couple of years ago. They didn't specify what kind of counseling. Our story is based on interviews with over 25 people, and we are standing by our reporting.
Isn't the federal disclosure form that Jared Kushner has famously?
It
JFK
is the same.
Jr. with the bar had to do many times before he's gotten it right, and he probably hasn't yet.
It actually is the same form. It's known, if anyone out there has gotten clearance, it's called the SF-86, standard form 86. And you can pull it up online and you'd see how intrusive it is. Again, I mean, it asks about all those sort of deepest, darkest corners of your life. And the thing that Kushner got caught up on, I mean, I think actually a bunch of areas, but one of them was, there's a section of the form that asks about your contacts with foreign government officials. And Kasowitz has not filled that out, to be clear. At least according to his spokesman, he doesn't have clearance and hasn't sought it.
So he hasn't done it wrong or right. He just
exactly.
Left it blank. And so I know that, you know, there's been some breaking news or changes to the news since your amazing story. But what I'm talking about, of course, is baseball legend Ty Cobb being brought onto the Trump team. This guy has like a waxed mustache, and that's pretty much all I know about him.
Yes,
tell me about Ty Cobb.
So he apparently is related to the original Ty Cobb. He's a lawyer in Washington at Hogan Lovells. He, unlike Kasowitz, actually does have experience in high-profile investigations. One of his notable cases was representing a CIA agent who was accused of an illegal leak about a decade ago. It's been reported that Cobb is not joining the Kasowitz outside counsel team, but that he will be joining the White House counsel's office.
Okay.
One of the sort of confusing things here is that in the news stories reporting on Cobb's imminent hiring, they describe him at his future role as being to be the sort of disciplinarian of the White House to make sure Trump's not, you know, tweeting things about Russia that could hurt his case, that being in charge of the statements to the press. And the interesting thing about that is that is also how Kasowitz's role has been described or was described. Again, he was only brought on 5-6 weeks ago.
Right.
So it's unclear whether he's sort of replacing, whether he's sort of taking over some of Kasowitz's duties, whether the duties are not particularly well delineated. nominated. I mean, it hasn't even been officially confirmed that he is joining the White House. So it seems to all be in flux. There have also been a lot of news stories in the last few days about Trump being upset with various lawyers, lawyers being upset with him, lawyers being upset with Kushner, Kushner being upset with lawyers. So there's a whole sort of subgenre of stories about
– We can't stay away from Jared Kushner, yeah. So we are going in that direction. But before we get there, how do we know that Ty Cobb – I mean, what in his experience or background or situation in Washington suggests that he might be able to keep Trump from Twitter, the Mount Everest of political life right now?
Right. It's a very good question. It's also interesting that it was reported that Trump only hired Kazowitz after being turned down by several other sort of more typical choices, attorneys who have experience, again, these sort of Washington, high-profile Washington investigations. Trump sought to retain them. They turned him down reportedly because or among the reasons was that they were afraid that Trump wasn't going to take their advice. I mean, one of the sort of ironic things about the Kazowitz retention was that, as you say, one of his roles was supposed to be sort of controlling Trump's worst impulses. The second story that we did this week at ProPublica was that after our first sort of longer profile on Kazowitz, one of our readers read the story and emailed Kazowitz he was a stranger, but he was saying to Kazowitz, you should resign now, which is, not the friendliest email to get, but the guy wrote it in a pretty polite way. This is a retired public relations professional.
And incidentally, even if it weren't written in a polite way,
right?
People in the press get those kind of emails. And, if you're flacking for the president, it's assumed that you're going to have stuff in your inbox that requires flacking.
Or just deleting. It's actually striking. When I get hostile emails, often if you just respond to the person politely, they'll email you back immediately, like apologizing, even if the first email is just completely unhinged.
But
So Mark Kazowitz on Wednesday night around 9:30 p.m. responds to this guy with a series of four emails over a half hour, profanity laced, says watch your back.
You can say the whole thing.
Then goes even further and says, I already know where you live. You will see me, bro. He actually used the word bro in the email. And so this is the guy who then reached out to me.
Jason is shaking his head because I do like the detached clinical way that you it's just like that beautiful journalist way of saying, he said, watch your back, bitch. That's one thing he said. And he used the word bro. But, we're talking about just that, like, the reality TV side of this stuff that continues to be innovating, in public discourse.
This was fairly shocking. The guy who then reached out to me, and we, with the help of some of my colleagues at ProPublica, confirmed these emails were real. At first, we thought maybe they weren't because it was so shocking. He was actually so rattled, he sent these things to the FBI.
Oh.
Kazowitz, by the way, has since apologized, issued a statement of apology. And, I should also say Kazowitz runs a law firm here in New York City with about 250 lawyers. They mainly do sort of commercial litigation work, real estate work, all kinds of different law. And there's plenty of people there that have absolutely nothing to do with the Trump representation who are, the name of their firm is now being dragged into the news by their founder. But so anyways, it's hard to see how this sort of string of kind of scary threats by Kazowitz to the stranger, it makes you wonder about whether this is the person who could put a leash on Trump. So anyways, to get back to your question, if the reports are true that Ty Cobb is taking this job, he does seem like a more traditional figure. He doesn't have a previous relationship with Trump as far as I know. It'll be very interesting to see whether he can sort of control Trump. We'll see.
It feels like – so – obviously, this could sound like palace intrigue or sort of courtroom intrigue, or at least just inside baseball, because we're talking about Ty Cobb. But in fact, it is consequential, because the larger question that we're not quite articulating is the backgrounds of these attorneys, like the backgrounds of the people Robert Mueller is hiring, say something about what people think is the discovery or on the table, what the possible crimes that are being prosecuted and being defended against are. And yeah, so, what do you make of...
Right. I think one of the big question marks right now also is sort of where is Robert Mueller's investigation going? It seemed, you know, we've gotten a few reports. These are all anonymously sourced. So it's, you know, one has to, you have to assess them, try to figure out who the sources are and whether it's true. But I think one of the most significant stories in the last few weeks was the Washington Post reported that this was after the Comey hearing in early June, that the Mueller team is now looking at President Trump on obstruction of justice. And that seems to relate to a few things. One is Trump asked a couple of his intelligence officials, Mike Rogers, the head of the NSA, National Security Agency, and Dan Coats, the director of national intelligence, to make public statements saying there was no collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia last year. That's also been raised in this whole sort of obstruction question. They haven't really publicly commented on that as far as I know. They testified before Congress, and actually this is another example of something that's classified in all this. Mike Rogers, the head of the NSA, was questioned about this and told, I believe, a House committee that his conversation with Trump that they were asking about was classified. So that's another thing where if you don't have security clearance, let's say there were some notes of that meeting, you're not supposed to be looking at that.
The first sign, if indeed, as you point out, we're not completely sure that Ty Cobb's coming on, he's certainly not there yet, but if the first thing to recommend Ty Cobb is that he could get this clearance, I mean, that would seem to be step one in hiring.
At least lawyers that Jesse and I spoke to who have done this kind of work in the past say you want clearance to do this representation. I mean, can look back and even people may remember when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State still and had her sort of famous grilling about Benghazi. Went on for like 12 hours or whatever it was. She hired private outside counsel, sort of like her Mark Kazowitz, except the person she hired was a guy named David Kendall, who is a sort of longtime Washington lawyer who got security clearance for that narrow, just to prepare Hillary Clinton for this Benghazi hearing.
Got it.
So it seems like Trump should have somebody with security clearance, number one. And number two, I mean, the interesting thing about the Ty Cobb situation is it's been reported that he's joining the White House as an actual employee. Trump's outside legal team right now, it's Kazowitz. There's also Jay Sekulo, who seems to mainly be a guy who gives interviews on TV, sort of a longtime fixture on Fox News.
Wait, and he's a Jew for Jesus, is that
right? He's also I think the preferred term is a Messianic Jew, which I learned only reading a profile of Jay Sekulow.
Messianic Jew.
But yes, I think that's a big part. That may have actually been how he originally sort of entered the scene in Washington in a case involving Jews for Jesus.
But, and does he talk theology with the Kushners? That's actually what the whole interview is about. I'm just curious. And eschatology.
I would love to hear that conversation.
And that's so far. There's some other Kazowitz members of the firm also that are.
Yep, there's several. There's a guy named Michael Bowie who is also present at the Comey hearing. In our reporting, we learned that there were several associates at the firm working on this case also, several other lawyers. But Jesse and I asked Kazowitz's spokesperson, explain to us, what is your actual role? Because the media reports about it were just that, you know, Trump retains Kazowitz on the Russia case. And they just declined to comment on that and said, we don't talk about client matters. So it's very unclear what they're actually doing.
So we're going to move to Kushner, but I guess the one thing I'll say you may not be able to comment on is this reminds me of when O.J. Simpson was luring up, and it has that feeling that the last thing we should construe from any hiring of any lawyer, of course, is guilt. Because, you know,
certainly
it's right. But at the
same time, my dad is a public defender and would crucify me if I didn't.
If you said, oh, there must be something there if he's gotten this particular CIA lawyer or this, you know, bankruptcy lawyer, whatever. On the other hand, the spectacle is somewhat alarming that all Trump and all these people around Trump are hiring lawyers with like interesting experience, including defending against racketeering and other things we don't even know are necessarily on the table.
Yeah, I mean, another wrinkle in it that's interesting that actually we also reported this week is that Michael Cohen, who people may remember as a sort of talking head for the Trump campaign last year, he is a longtime Trump attorney for the Trump organization, Trump's company.
Right.
One of the things that happened earlier this year is that Michael Cohen showed up at the law firm Kazowitz Benson, which is in Midtown Manhattan, and started working there for several days, and it alarmed other attorneys at the firm because, you know, this is a guy that was very publicly associated with Trump. He's a controversial guy. He doesn't work for Kazowitz, so people were wondering what he was doing there.
How long has he been with the family?
He's been associated with Trump for many, many years. I'm not sure how many years he worked for the Trump organization.
He's actually the real, I shouldn't have said this about Kazowitz. He's actually the real Tom Hagen. He's the family lawyer.
Exactly. So he was the sort of in-house, or for a long time, he was the in-house lawyer at the Trump organization. Actually, when Trump was elected president, Cohen left the Trump organization, as I understand it, because he wanted to continue to be Trump's personal lawyer and because Trump had that whole sort of purported separation from the Trump organization. Michael Cohen couldn't keep being – this might be the realest part of that separation, is that Michael Cohen actually left the Trump organization to continue being Trump's lawyer. So at one point –
because he's that meticulous. I mean, just it's the ethical – the scrupulousness of these people is just astounding. He did leave the Trump organization.
Right.
Yeah.
So I actually talked to Michael Cohen in recent days for this story. And he confirmed to me that he had been working with Mark Kazowitz in February for a sort of brief period, talking about co-counseling for a client together that was apparently President Trump. And the interesting thing about that is that Michael Cohen himself is now – has been reported to be a subject of the Russia investigation. He's reported to be under FBI investigation.
With his own lawyers.
He's denied all wrongdoing. And so it's interesting that – somebody who is a subject of the Russia investigation was working at or with the law firm that is now representing another person in the Russia investigation. So we need the sort
that
of like –
that is indeed interesting.
We need the Glenn Beck blackboard. I guess podcasting technology doesn't allow for that.
We definitely do. Or I wish Kellyanne Conway, we could just Occam's razor this down to a couple words on a sheet of paper.
Exactly.
We can't, unfortunately. So now I need to ask you about Kushner. There's shakeup in his legal team today, too. It looks like a Jamie Gorelick, former deputy AG under Janarino, has stepped down or back from the team. And who does that leave with him?
As I read the sort of late-breaking stories, Jamie Gorelick, who, as you mentioned, is a sort of prominent Democrat, which is always one of the interesting things about her representing Kushner, has stepped back from the Russia piece Kushner's legal needs. My colleagues and I have been writing a lot about ethics issues at the White House and issues related to the fact that Jared Kushner continues to own large swaths of real estate holdings and other assets that could create conflicts of interest with his role in the Trump administration. And I can tell you that when you're doing that reporting and you call the White House to ask, you know, for comment, they will refer you to Jamie Gorelick and her law firm. Mm. And then you talk to them about all sort of matters about Jared and Ivanka, actually. So I've dealt with them. They're very professional.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure how to interpret what's going on. That maybe Kushner's decided that the Russia thing is big enough that he needs somebody to focus full time on that, or somebody with sort of more relevant experience. I actually haven't reported on who the new person is.
Kushner's team is considered, and I don't know if it still is after this move by Jamie Gorelick, but they're considered to be some of the best and also most proactive in this, what some people call a firing squad in a circle, which is that every one of the principals here, including Kellyanne Conway, including Michael Cohen, including, you know, Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, have lawyers, and that those lawyers are defending their clients. They're not at all, I mean, these are just defense attorneys. If any of us, you know, got in trouble, we'd hire the same people, and there may be deals cut with the other people being investigated by Mueller. Like, we don't know. The most recent and obvious example of this is the suggestion that Jared Kushner's legal team was behind the leak or the promotion or circulation of this email that heavily implicates Don Jr. in something that looks like, you know, untoward behavior with a Russian government official.
Right. I mean, there's this whole amazing genre of journalism that's developed in the last 4 or 5 months, these sort of anonymously sourced stories reporting that President Trump has grown increasingly frustrated with or has lashed out at or is thinking about firing X person. And X person, meanwhile, is you know, attacking Y other member of the administration. Just in the last week, there's been a week or two, there's been story, there was a Politico story saying Trump has become incredibly disillusioned with Don McGahn, his White House counsel. He's right. lashed out at him in a meeting over this Russia
right.
stuff.
These are set then, pieces. This right. is amazing. I didn't even notice.
Then there's a New York Times story reporting that Trump is growing increasingly disillusioned with Mark Kazowitz because of his questions about his strategy in responding to the Russia stuff. Huh. Same story says Kazowitz, meanwhile, the Kazowitz team is upset at the president because he's hard to deal with. They also think that Kushner is whispering in the president's ear about Russia matters and keeping them out of the loop when they want to know about everything. Then there's a Washington Post story the next day, I believe, saying that you know, sort of elaborating on the idea that the Kazowitz team says Trump is, or people familiar with their thinking say that Trump is an impossible client. He won't take advice.
Yes, I saw that.
He tweets about things they're about to have a meeting about. All of it seems very plausible, and one could sort of sympathize with them on some level.
I'm not sure where I'm going with this. But you know what's weird is we get these stories, like we got about Bannon. We've had it at various times about Reince Priebus. And then I'm just like, oh, Trump just, you know, lost his mind and turned over a table and yelled at how much he hates XYZ. And then I just see him like shaking hands with Brigitte Macron or whatever. And I just am like, when are all these things happening? I mean, right. I just don't. So as I think you're intimating, this isn't happening exactly the way it's being reported, that like there are people stirring up trouble and leaking. Well, we know the White House is leaking right and left, and that these attorneys, and this goes to the question of, with all these private defense attorneys in the game, each one of them just out for their client, what does each one of these cases do to the other?
Right. I mean, I think, and we haven't even talked about the fact that there's parallel investigations going on by congressional intelligence committees who are interviewing people, who are having classified sessions to talk about these things that are parallel and separate from the Mueller investigation.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, you can understand why these people need lawyers, and it's all fascinating, compelling to follow. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time reporting on this stuff. At the same time, you know, there's things going on in the background that have nothing to do with this that are probably arguably more important related to healthcare and regulation. Well, but I guess that might be outside the bounds of this interview.
I mean, yeah, we try to do it. Every person covering every aspect says there might be bigger fish to fry somewhere else. So I'm glad all the fish are being fried. The media definitely has its hands full. You guys have done a great job at ProPublica. And thank you so much for being here.
Thanks very much.
That's it for today's show. But before I go, do you follow us on Twitter? I mean, just come on, follow us on Twitter. It's at RealTrumpCast. The other thing you can do is it really helps if you give us 450 stars on iTunes. So do that too if you like our show. TrumpCast is produced by Jason DeLeon. I'm Virginia Heffernan. Thanks for listening to TrumpCast.